Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, church. My hope is, and my prayer, that your hearts have been captivated by those lyrics and those worship moments. I did, and I hope you did. It was so beautiful time of worship that we really engaged with God corporately that way. Today, we continue with our sermon series called Relation Slip. And you can always go back and watch those messages online. There are a number of ways you can get into our online platform and watch the previous sermons and last few Sundays on this topic. This morning, we're going to continue looking at some of the things that are one of the most vulnerable things in relationship. Most vulnerable me is being vulnerable, vulnerability. So, and I think that is enough to be able to set the scene for the preacher this morning that is going to be a very vulnerable message and sermon. But because we're speaking God's word, it gives me strength and joy and a pleasure to be able to come from that place of vulnerability. And so my excuse in advance, my apology, if this sermon touches you deeply in that area, my prayer is the Spirit of God will minister to that. Vulnerability, yes, it's something that we deal with each and every day. You know, we love to preach to God's words, and that's one of our key values, that we preach the word, but also application. So if you have missed the last few, go and watch it. The aim is that we don't just preach God's words so that you get more information, but the application that it'll help you in your relationship as we continue with this series here. Some are more intense than others when it comes to vulnerability, to being more vulnerable. The impact varies across all types of relationship, let's say from here at the church, from pastors to members, and from to your parents and children, from husband to wife, and also, you know, boss and workers and the likes in our society. It touches every area of our lives. The language even changed over the years in many circles. Many of you would know people with mental health are addressed as people with lived experiences. Perhaps for a good reason, because of the stigma attached to it, and also the fact that we want to avoid labeling someone by using that strong word. And I'm so glad that we're able to put it up here and sing, because there's something about it. But it's changing. Vulnerability can be like walking on some broken glasses, and you tiptoe around to ensure that you don't step on a piece of glass and get hurt, or let others step on them and get hurt. And that's how intense it is. And let's just imagine for a moment a world where you can show your true self to others without fear and of being judged. What a beautiful world that is. A world where genuineness reigns and fulfilling relationships seem to be flourished. This is a world where we can see that vulnerability can unlock something in you. Firstly, by opening up and sharing your true feelings honestly with someone, you're giving them permission. You allow them to come to a place they ought to do the same to you. And it often involves a trust, a space of trust and empathy and compassion that thrive in some way, thread the tapestry of relationship that our bonds are unbroken. But vulnerability doesn't stop there. It also becomes a catalyst for personal growth and self-awareness. That by embracing vulnerability, you begin a journey of deep discovery of something so deep inside of you, the way you think, the things you want, and the things that value the most to you. But we must first admit that being vulnerable in a relationship is not easy. And I know if I get to really see what's deeply inside of you, many of you would probably say, and I would say my fellow man will probably say, yeah, it is not easy. I will not dare have anybody to come inside and invade that secret space in my heart. I'm a man, I'm strong, and there's no way I can allow that space. And I can understand why, because I'm a male and I know what it's like to be able to feel insecurity inside of me. It is hard because vulnerability requires courage, it requires intentionality, it requires understanding, but also require commitment. But what does it mean to be vulnerable? Is it hard? Is it a sin to be vulnerable? Is it something that associated with the type of person, my personality? Is there any benefit from being vulnerable? And if it is, can we find a way to exercise vulnerability in your relationship in a healthier way? It's a question worth asking. But let's start with a working definition, that vulnerability in relationship is about the boldness to reveal your true self, expose your emotion, and allow yourself to be seen, heard, and understood. As Christian, we often hear about the virtues of strength and steadfastness and resilience. Get back up. But what about vulnerability? Is there any room in our walk with Jesus to be vulnerable? You know what? The Bible speaks volumes about the power and necessity of embracing vulnerability. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, Paul shares, "But he said to me, God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in me." This passage sets the stage for understanding how embracing our vulnerability is not just beneficial, but it's also helps us in our spiritual growth. When we look at the biblical perspective of vulnerability, we find that the Bible does not shy away from the concept of vulnerability. Through Scripture, we see God's servant exposing their fears, their doubts, their anxieties, their weaknesses. We look at David, King David, the Psalms. We read, for instance, in Psalm 34, assures us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Strong word, because this intimate revelation of David's heart shows us that expressing our brokenness is not a sign of weakness, but a path to a divine, genuine, authentic relationship and support. So being vulnerable, first of all, in our relationship with God, flourish when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable with Him. We do that through prayer. We do that through worship. We tear down and pray as we sung already for that stronghold to come down, to break down the walls and bear our souls. We invite His presence into our lives more profoundly. Hebrews 14 says, encourages us to approach God with what? With confidence. His throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of trouble and need. By being open to our struggles and our fears, we align more closely with our relationship with God and His work in our lives. And then now, being vulnerable in our relationship with others, we see Christ, our Lord Jesus, demonstrate the ultimate vulnerability, not only through His sacrifice, crucifixion on the cross, but through His ministry. We read that He washed His disciples' feet on the night before His betrayal. It was an act of humility and openness. By following Jesus' example, bear one another's burden. In Galatians 6, we tend to build a stronger, more empathetic relationship that reflects the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're never so vulnerable, someone said, we're never so vulnerable than we trust someone. But paradoxically, if we cannot trust, neither can we find love and joy. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul expresses himself to his friends at the church. He said, "My friends at Corinth, our hearts are wide open to you and we speak freely, holding nothing back from you. If there's a block in our relationship, it is not with us, For we carry you in our hearts with great love, yet you still withhold your affection from us. So I speak to you as our children, make room, make space in your hearts for us as we have done for you. Can you hear the exchange in a beautiful way? As Paul explained in this scripture, vulnerability, as he puts it, opening wide our hearts and holding nothing back, is key to building a meaningful, authentic relationship. Yet, so many of us hide and even feel uneasy, you know, about hearing that word. We often joke about how, you know, how uncomfortable, physically uncomfortable, and mentally just saying the word out loud. But you know, the reality is, what is really uncomfortable is the unaddressed fears that we associate with the concept of opening our hearts, disclosing something deep in our heart with somebody. The scripture above is an example of vulnerability. Here is Paul, who opened up his heart in love and gave his all, knowing there's a risk that the other party, his friends in Corinth church, won't reciprocate or respond appropriately. And then there are his friends who hold back, extreme vulnerable. There's Paul who did that. A block in or slip in a relationship often happens when we decide to hold back our emotions, our feelings, transparency, and we choose instead to just pretend that I'm okay. That I'm okay and just pretend and perform. But what does vulnerability look like in a healthy relationship? Well, if that's the definition, that here is just some, and I won't go into details because I'm sure you can all relate to some or many or all. Sharing our deepest fear and insecurities. Yeah, something we often keep to ourselves. Expressing your needs when you come before. And sharing your past traumas and hurts. Who like to talk about it? Expressing your emotion authentically. Are we truly speaking out the things that are going deeply inside of us? Admitting mistakes and apologizing. Are you a joke? Who's going to do that? But it's part of it all. Sharing your quirks and imperfections only openly with others. Here are just some of the way it looks like in a healthy relationship. Vulnerability is certainly a process that should be developed in a safe and nurturing environment. And it requires trust and empathy and open-hearted communication between two people. It is a mutual respect things that two we need to work on, because when both people embrace vulnerability in a biblical way, they come to create a space of a deep connection, closeness, and growth with their relationship. I don't just speak this because I've heard someone say it. I've experienced my 23, 24 years in ministry, the impact and the reality of how this works. I've experienced my own life. In the last 2 years, been running Fresh Hope for Mental Health, running peer support group and courses and all of that. I've seen how is this creative space have changed lives. But it may be difficult to be vulnerable. It can be difficult for some reason, because it is really hard to step out of our comfort zone, exposing ourselves to potential emotional risk. Earlier service, somebody came to me and just addressed that topic. I'm fearful that I might feel judged by others. She didn't know whether she would be judged, she's just being fearful. But fear of rejection, that's something that we're afraid of. Opening up yourself, you risk of being turned away from somebody. Past hurts and trauma, our prior experiences of disloyalty and heartbreaking, emotional wound can stand in the way of us trusting someone. Social conditioning and expectation, the society often promotes image of strength and vulnerability, invulnerability, discouraging people from revealing their weaknesses and emotion. And I know I work with some of my facilitators and nurses that are working, mental health nurses, and they just share how sharing openly in a group is tough and difficult because of the stigma that is quite ingrained in people because of the way they perceive in our culture and our society. Fear of judgment and shame, feeling ashamed of our vulnerability, can inhibit us. Sometimes we're pretty good at judging others, don't we? A lack of trust. If your trust has been broken in the past and is lacking in a current relationship, it may make it difficult for us to trust anyone else. And sometimes the cultural or gender expectation, the society, there's an expectation of stereotypes of, you know, masculinity and femininity and emotional expression that can affect our willingness to be vulnerable. You know, someone said to me recently, one of my greatest fears is being rejected and feeling alone, and that scares me more than just a spider or standing publicly and speak. Another person said to me recently, I usually try to avoid acknowledging this fear at all costs because it makes me feel weak, embarrassed, and insecure. It brings up a question that I don't like to face. Am I liked? Am I loved? Being vulnerable involves the possibility of rejections, no doubt. We saw in Luke 5, verse 8 to 10, when Simon Peter saw this, he knelt in front of Jesus and he said, "Leave me, Lord. I am a sinful person." At least he admitted it's a good thing. But after Peter saw a glimpse of Jesus' power and realized his own weakness, by the way, when he said that and they went on to continue fishing, they caught many fish. They were amazed, even those who were around it. But when Peter saw this, he almost like pushed Jesus away. "Get away from me, Jesus." But it was a beautiful gesture of understanding when Jesus humbly submit himself by addressing Peter. And he said to Peter, Jesus reassured Peter, inspiring him to see a purpose bigger than himself. And you know the rest of the story. That man who say, "I'm a sinful man, push, go away," he turned out the Peter that we know. It was so close to Jesus, the fisher of men. Like Peter, I can use different tactics in a relationship that communicate for people to stay away from me. You know, when my wife get to discuss some things that are associated with my past, not always a bad thing. I've got the tactics. I usually pull out my cards, and either firstly, I will blame her, or I would try to change the topic, yeah? Quickly try and change the topic. Or bluntly, I would just say, "Can we not talk about this?" You know, I refuse to be vulnerable and known in this time and choose instead to be hidden, which blocks my relationship with God and the people to whom I relate to, I must admit. You know, when you read the Psalms, it says this word, "Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. Examine me to see if there is an evil bone in me and guide me down your path forever." And as this scripture reminds us, teaches us that God is ultimately involved in our lives. He cares about us and he knows deeply and he wants to touch in those places that we fear of rejection and afraid of being judged. And when we believe that, we kind of know that there is something that we ought to be more vulnerable because we're expecting God to be at that place. But let me ask you, what do you hide that you should choose to be vulnerable about instead? Do you let God, do you let your family, do you let your friends, the people you trust? Who could you be closer to if you're be honest? I went and visited someone recently, and he shared with me an experience of how his dad passed away recently. And in that conversation, he shared how he kept something secret in himself so deeply until he felt he could no longer let go, and he ended up, it was to do with his health, at the hospital, and they found out that he's got cancer, and it's covered the whole body, and it was too late. And he shared this because it was a learning experience for him about closing to how sharing how we feel with others. There is something about it when we believe that God is right there, when we believe that others are there for us, that there is a place to whom we can share, it does make a difference, because it's important to recognize that vulnerability is an ongoing process. It requires creating a supportive environment, building trust, and building emotional awareness. Overcoming these barriers to vulnerability can help us to lead us to that deeper connection and personal growth. So what benefits can vulnerability brings to our relationship? First of all, I want to say that authentic connection. I know Pastor Stan shared this last night in our newcomers dinner. Authenticity is something important, part of the value of our church, to be authentic, to be true and honest, how we share with one another. So it is important here. Being vulnerable allows you to show others that you truly are with, which in turn encourages deeper, more meaningful relationship. When you open up and share your thoughts and feelings, it is truly what's happening in your life. Emotional growth is another area. I know in the Fresh Hope for Mental Health, we learn about emotional age. And emotional age, you can be an adult and have an emotional age of a child. And when you're in adolescence, like me, you can have an emotional age of an older person. Phil's not here, but he doesn't like it when I say that. Whenever he asks me, how are you going? And I say, I'm okay for an old man. For those who know me, I'd say that often. But you know the reality is, there are times when I do think and feel, particularly when I used to kid up, I do feel like an old man. And you can feel like a child when those emotions hit you, that you always cry, you always yearning, you always... Personal growth and emotional growth is part of it. Increase empathy and compassion. When you embrace vulnerability, you become more open seeing the struggles and vulnerability of others. When we open to be a vulnerable community, we need to listen well. Enhance problem solving. Sometimes having those difficult conversations can lead us to a place of deeper discovery within ourselves. This is a challenge in the workplace. When workers are not vulnerable enough to be honest and be open, it affects them. This encourages collaboration, brainstorming, and exploring creative solutions in a team. When there's no vulnerability, it's pretty hard to work together. Overcoming fear and shame is another one we've spoke about. And the last one, resilient and personal strength. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable, you develop resilience and inner strength. But some will often say, but isn't vulnerability a sign of weaknesses? That's what the society sees. Vulnerability is a sign of weakness. But in God's sight, vulnerability is the opposite. It is a strength. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul testifies to this truth. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Who's here is delighting their weaknesses? But I don't know whether this is how Paul was passionate, his tone of voice. I am so delighted in my weaknesses, my affliction, and all of that. But if something comes deep from someone who experienced vulnerability, because you know the strength that comes from it. For I am weak and I'm strong. 10 weeks ago, I stood on this stage and opened up about my weaknesses. I was sitting down, you might remember that, the whole time in worship. I made some people laugh and I made some cry. I shared my personal story and I still remember that moment of silence. And after the service, some came up to me and said, thanks for your vulnerability. That personal story was the touching moment of the message for me. One person said, I never cried properly, but I couldn't stop soaking. By the way, it's been 10 weeks today since I started I was sharing my struggles, my health, and I'm glad to say that I now lost 25 kilos. Thank you. But you know the trick? I couldn't do it without my being vulnerable. And that there are people in this room that were brave enough to be able to come out and try to get in to the things quite deep and personal to me and invite. And because of their boldness to keep reminding me, it all happened. And with God's help. But I also want to say this. If it wasn't that I did it, and the inner strength within me is because it's my act of worship, everything that we do might not be as effective. And if we do vulnerability and approach it in the same way, that it's about being strong in the Lord, then it can make a difference in your life. Someone said to share your weakness is to make yourself vulnerable. And to make yourself vulnerable is show your strength. And I've seen it and I did it. When we are vulnerable, we are opening ourselves to God and to others, and we are allowing ourselves to be seen and known. Then we found the renewed strength the Bible speaks of. But how do we start? And if we want to go that way, and I want to learn more about being vulnerable, I just want to give you a few tips to do. First of all, start by increase your self-awareness. Just sit down for a moment and start look deeply into your life and see what are those vulnerable things, 1, 2, or 3, maybe 7, 10. Remember, don't get me wrong, that this is about you going sharing all the things that everything that happened in your life in the last 30, 60, 70 years. That's not this. This is not the point. Awareness of what's going on inside the fuel is the things that are heavy, that are impacting our life, that are holding you back from living a life that thrives. So start with recognizing those things. And also emotional growth. We're looking at the wrong thing. So start by doing increase in awareness. Moral vulnerability. For me, it's easier to talk people into making a change like myself because I model it. I lived it. And then also, when it comes to vulnerability, go first. It'll be easy for me to come and talk into people and say, you go first and try and lose 25 before I die. I have to lead the way. Go first. Sometimes when we're in a conversation, maybe it's time for us, maybe it's to start the conversation, you know, relationship. And that's important. Sometimes we wait, it never happen. And then start slow. Vulnerability is essential, so start slow by sharing small. Less intimidating vulnerabilities and gradually can reprocess towards deeper level of openness. Because the last thing you don't want to do is to load the person you're building a relationship with to a point and you start burning the bridges already. Start small, sharing small, and then build up trust, and then you continue to grow. Express your needs, share your emotions, be an active listener. Pastor Stan speaks into this in our communication. When your partner shares something, motivate you about it, his thoughts or feelings, actively listen to them without judgment. Look at the person you are talking to. And be accepting and non-judgmental. We're pretty good at judging others, aren't we? Embrace discomfort. You might find that you talk about critical issues that are so intense. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's where you can grow in that space of uncomfortability. Have difficult conversation. It's a part of it. And I must advise you, if need be, seek professional help. And remember, sometimes it's not worth it. And I share with this person this morning, you need to listen to your heart. You need to make discernment and pray whether this is the right time to share if you fear of trusting that you're not going to be judged. And make sure when you not share that openly. So the final thoughts on vulnerability in our relationship is that being vulnerable in a relationship is a profound act of humble submission. That is, to exercise trust and vulnerability more effectively, it must come from a place of humility and submission, not selfish ambition. This is all about me. Vulnerability opens us up and invite others into. And again, I want to go back to Jesus. We start with him. Let's go back to him, because he modeled mutual respect through vulnerability on a cross. At the well, when he met that woman, the Samaritan at the well, he dig deep into, and out of that long conversation, listening and conversation, she made a change. She come out and share all the things in her heart, and it made a difference to her. Another time, Jesus' mode of vulnerability was in the garden before he was taken to captive. He come to the disciple and said, "My soul is broken." Jesus shared his grief with his friends, and he invited them into his inner life. To be vulnerable is to be open yourself up to potential wounding. And the man on the cross that we come to know could have become angry who stood there with Jesus. He could have disagreed with Jesus. The apostle could have not known how to support Jesus and fall asleep. Jesus knew that potential and was vulnerable anyway. Brené Brown, someone is known to some of you in that sort of field. Vulnerability, she said, vulnerability is not winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up and be seen when you have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It's our greatest measure of courage. It does take courage. And yet we see this courage modeled by Jesus. We can risk being vulnerable with others. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." It means that we, each and every person here, we owe each other the duty of submission. We submit to the roles people play in our lives. Someone says that submission is about discovering deeper and authentic connection. It's the art of letting go and let someone else take the lead. We submit to the purpose God has designed them to carry out in our lives. Submission is an invitation to explore new types of intimacy in our relationship. Trusting someone with a submission is a testament to your strength. And I stand to testify to that. You see, the central theme of Ephesians 5 about submitting to each other isn't really about the marriage, but following God's example as his beloved children and walking away of the love which Paul clearly stated in the first verse. You see, there is no love without submission, and there is no submission without love. In his letter to Colossians, he gave almost identical but shorter kind of definition of how the word of Christ should generate submission to one another. He said, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grieved against someone, forgive as the Lord forgives." To submit is to completely diving into the unknown with an open arms, ready to be embraced. That's the beauty of submission, again, found in the silence of trust. It is a gentle whisper of trust amidst the chaos in life. The heart knows how well and when to submit, even when the mind resists to go that way. Submission invites us to embrace both the strength and vulnerability. And sometimes, the best thing you can do is to yield control, it's called submission, over to others and accept our vulnerability, which is humility, so we can be healed. I want to invite the team to come up here, and I've asked them to sing that song again. "I surrender all." Remember, it's hard for us to step out of our comfort zone, to be able to cross that boundary to experience a good Christian vulnerability. But I want to challenge you as we sing this song here again. If vulnerability is something that you struggle with, stepping out of a comfort zone is something that you struggle with, as you stand, as we sing, I invite you to make that commitment, either by coming forward and stand here in front and in the presence of God and continue to worship, and then after the service, someone will pray for you. But even just that, making that one step out of the seat is to say, it's not hard to experience that. It's a symbol of the first step to take to go to that place of vulnerability. And I'm going to ask the worship team, and I'm inviting you to stand as you come, as we lead into this song. But this time, look deep inside of you and what it is that I need to surrender.